Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I will try to be brief today. I try that a lot. I give up pretty quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Title of this message is Strength for Your Weakness. Father, we thank you, God, that everything we are, everything we have, everything we want to do is completely and totally tied up in you. And we receive all you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week was kind of part one, although this isn't a series. I preached on sufficient grace, and I shared about the thorns. Thorns pierce flesh, but can't pierce your spirit. Secondly, that pleading is powerful, but not predictable. Thirdly, God's grace is sufficient, but it's not skimpy. And grace is always free. Grace is apart from works. Grace is comprehensive, and grace is powerful. So today, we're going to keep talking about grace, but in this area of weakness, you don't work to get grace. You work as a response to grace. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 gives us a command. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Let me say it again. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." In the Lord, in the power of his might. There was a movie years ago. None of you millennials will have any idea about this. It was called The Hanging Tree, starring Gary Cooper. And in that, there's a time where an old doctor saved a young man's life who'd been shot. And after he recovered, he said to the doctor, he said, "What can I do for you? You saved my life." He said, "You can be my assistant for the rest of your life, because that's how long you would have been dead." Can you give the rest of your life, your years in history, to God since he saved you for eternity? Because you were dead in trespasses and sins. But by the mercy and grace of God, according to his great mercy, he's made you alive. That's the least we can do. So, you cannot become strong in the Lord until you see how weak you really are without him. God speaks to create. Did you know when God speaks, it creates? Whatever God says is a creative act. Still with me? So when he says to us, "Be strong," he's not giving us a pep talk. He's enabling us to be strong. When he said to Peter, when he was walking on the water, and Peter said, "Hey, Lord, if that's really you, tell me to come to you." When he said, "Come," he was not just giving Peter an invitation to walk on the water. It was an empowerment to walk on the water. He couldn't have walked on water before, right? Even if he had so much faith he could walk on the water, but Jesus hadn't said, come, if he stepped out of that boat, he would have sunk. When Jesus said, come, by saying, come, he was given the enablement to do it. He walked on the water. When we hear the word of God say, be strong, we hear it like, well, yeah, I know I got to be strong. No, he's not just admonishing us to be strong. If we hear it with ears of faith, he's ministering actual strength to us. He's making us strong if we actually hear it. So I've got four little things today. Number one, God's strength is perfected where I'm weak. Verse 9 of our text said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God doesn't want us to act strong. He wants us to actually be strong. But it has to begin with getting real about how weak we actually are. Somebody could say, well, Pastor Tom's just an old white guy. Apparently, that's a big insult nowadays. But I don't really take it that way, because I don't have to act like I'm an old white guy, because I am. That's just who I is, right? So if somebody is what they are, they don't have to act like they is what they ain't. When God says be strong, that's what he wants you to be, not act like. He wants you to be that. And he enables you to do it. No matter how strong you are, you still have weaknesses. And you must admit your substance abuse, your fear, your lust, whatever it might be, if you want to actually get strong. Pride is just as intoxicating. Gluttony and greed are just as harmful. Every warrior has a weakness, or he wouldn't be told to wear armor. Your weakness is often not even your fault. Somebody who was supposed to protect you abused you, or they spoke death over you, and it crippled you. Now, we might not have warranted it, but it's still real. So, if somebody said to you, you're fat, you're ugly, you'll never amount to anything, you're worthless, sometimes that goes deep. Sometimes that breaks you deep. But it's not an excuse to not live for Jesus. God, you can have all of me. Sort of. I don't want to talk about my weaknesses. But guess what? Other people do. Have you noticed that? Other people talk about your weaknesses. In fact, other people want to define us by our weaknesses. Oh, she's divorced. They used to be a liar. I don't know if they've cleaned up their act or not. I know he was pretty addicted. Once an addict, always an addict. You know, she used to be a big hoe. Can I say that? That's not four letters. And I don't know if she's not still hoeing. Nobody knows, you know. So on and so forth. You pick it. If it's a weakness of your past, there's people that are going to talk about what you used to be and define you by that. Right? They sure are. And I found out that the people that are hiding their own weaknesses are the ones that talk about you like that more. They join in. Our culture trains us to hide our weaknesses. Never let them see you sweat. Especially with men. Got to be a man. Men don't cry. Well, I'll have you know, Jesus wept. Jesus was moved by compassion, and he was no sissy. He took 39 stripes. And then when he went to the cross, he looked at the devil and he looked at the people and he said, you know what? You're not taking my life. I'm giving it up. I'm leaving on my time. It is finished. Father, into your hand, I commit my spirit. Pew! Nobody took it. There's a man. Amen? So we pretend and we hide and we have no power. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So according to the word of God, you are foolish and weak and base. Now, the weak people are really happy and the proud people are mad right now. Those who think they're really smart and wise and better than and powerful and strong and beautiful and successful in themselves generally live outside the power of God. When we hear be strong, we think, okay, I've got to try to be strong and not show any weakness. But it's just exactly the opposite. Matthew 26:41 said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We all want to be strong. And so we try to be strong, but we can't be strong in our strength, where it really matters that we're strong. Boy, I got it really quiet in here. This is awesome. Satan is an identity thief. You are not perfected yet. You're being perfected. That word means completed, finished. The space between where you are right now and where you're going to be is what I'd call the grace space. It's filled with grace. You're not, what you were and what you're going to be is filled with grace. Who you are and who you will be is filled with grace. Some people go the other way. They say, well, I'm just too weak. I'm not strong enough. I can't make it. I can't do it. I can't be it. Well, let me help you there. You're not. You can't. You can't make it. You can't do it. You can't be it if it's just your strength. You just can't. But the good news is you're not alone. The greater one lives in you. Remember that verse? Greater is he who what? Is in you than he who is in the world. And because of that, I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengthens me. That's all your strength. It really is. We just have to believe it. So, in 2005, the National Science Foundation did a study. And in this study, they concluded that 40,000 thoughts a day go through people's heads. 80% of them are negative, and 90% are thoughts from yesterday. So people tend to go negative, and they're like a broken record. You ever get a song stuck in your head? Yeah. But in Christ, that ratio is diminishing day by day as you are being perfected into the image of Christ. As you are capturing every thought and bringing it into submission to the obedience of Christ. I don't think they included spirit-filled believers in this survey or this study they did. But spirit-filled believers can think just like the world if they're not strong in the Lord. And in other words, I can be becoming and struggling at the very same time. There's an interesting line in 2 Samuel 3:39 from King David. He says, I am weak today, though anointed king. I am weak today, though anointed king. When you're at your weakest, remember you're still anointed. 1 Peter 2:9. Says of us, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Ephesians 2:6 says, he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So just because you're going through something doesn't change who you are or whose you are. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So when all these things come upon you, don't you think that I'm staying this week? It's a temporary thing. Though you struggle, you're still sanctified. Even though you're rejected, you're still redeemed. When you're hurting, you're still holy. When you're divorced, you're still delivered. See how I used all those words that way? So quit focusing on how weak you are and stay focused on how strong your God is. Your weakness, I just have to throw this out there. Your weakness is allowed here in this place. And I mean this sincerely. If last night you got drunk as a skunk, I am glad you're here. If you slept with somebody illegitimately, which means somebody that's not your wife, big period right there. I'm still very glad you're here. I'm happy you're here, and God is too. If you even really crossed the line and pigged out at Guadi's and became a glutton, I'm glad you're here. I want to be real clear. If you're living in adultery or addiction or homosexuality, you're not walking with Christ. But you can, and we want you here, and he wants you here because he loves you and he wants to change your life. And bottom line is this, it's your life you're destroying, not mine. All I want to do is help you. I don't want to shame you or hurt you or make you feel bad. Secondly, my weakness invites God's power to rest on me. 2 Corinthians 9 again, therefore most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That word boast also means glory. One translation puts it that way. Here's how the Amplified Bible puts it. But he said to me, my grace, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest. And here's what I love in the Amplified. Yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. The moment you're acknowledging a weakness, God comes and throws a tent over you where his glory resides. I think that's awesome. We are impressed by athletes' physical prowess. That's why we go big blue and pay some guy millions of dollars to throw a little ball through a hoop. That's called worship and adoration. And that's why we glorify muscle and beauty. Look at that six pack. I just got a tire, you know. She's so beautiful all the time. They've got a perfect marriage. He always loves her like Christ, and she always submits perfectly to him like he's Christ. Please. Don't compare yourself. I love Robert Morris, and I love Tony Evans, but I can't be Robert Morris or Tony Evans. Those slots are already taken. But I do a pretty mean Tom Lane. I can be me pretty good if I don't try to be Robert Morris or Tony Evans. When we were in the Navy, we had these friends, and the lady's name was Lucy. She was a very pretty little redheaded girl, but she took a minimum of 1 hour to put her makeup on. I'm not saying get ready, shower, and all that other stuff, just to put her makeup on. And I used to think, what in the world? How in the world could it take? It takes my wife 5 minutes, and sometimes she doesn't wear it, and she looks great. And this woman would do this every time we tried to go somewhere with them, and it drove me crazy. But one day I went to their house real early in the morning and knocked on the door, and she opened the door without her makeup. And I literally kind of jumped. And I don't know if I've audibly gasped or not. But I was shocked. And then I understood. She didn't even look like the person I knew. My wife would probably smack me in the head if she was here for saying that story, but it's true. So, strengths aren't impressive to God at all. But what God does in spite of me is. We don't want anybody to know our weakness because of shame. But you're always as sick as your secrets. And God can't heal what you continue to hide. Paul, in our passage, 3 times he pleaded with the Lord to remove this thorn, this weakness in his life. But God said, nope, I've given you the grace that you need to overcome it. And you say, well, God, if you would just take this away, I could really serve you then. If you would just take this away, then I would fill in the blank. You're going to be waiting until Jesus comes. If you're waiting for that. The enemy doesn't defeat us because we're weak. He defeats us because we think we're strong. That's why he defeats you. God is never turned off by your weakness. As a matter of fact, he's attracted to it. He's looking for that. Your weakness and God's strength are a perfect match. God is not standing in heaven saying, can't you just do better? Can't you just be strong? He's not saying any of that stuff. What he's saying is, let me into your weakness. I remind you that Abraham was too old. Elijah was suicidal. Job was bankrupt. Moses had a speech impediment. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. The Samaritan woman was divorced 5 times. Noah was a drunk. Jacob was a deceiver. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Peter denied Christ. Zacchaeus was short and greedy. Paul was a Christian killer, and Tom was a drunken, perverted dopehead. And God used us all. Pastor, you shouldn't say things like that. Sorry. Not sorry. We were all created with inherent weaknesses, because God wants us to need others to do His will, but mostly He wants you to know you need Him to do anything important at all. Moses said, I can't talk. Paul was not a good speaker. But God didn't want slick talkers. He wanted vessels He could do signs and wonders through. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We are, I like to say it this way, we are divinely disabled, so we have to depend on God. He wants us to quit trying to be what only He can make us. And until we believe Zechariah 4:6, we will be devoid of any real power. Remember what that says? Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. When the enemy sets a wall in front of you and says, you have to stop right here, God says no. He says, I've set before you an open door that no man can shut. But you won't bust through that door because you're strong. You'll bust through that door because you invited Him into your weakness. God says, I don't call the qualified, I qualify the called. It's not how strong I can be, but if I can plug into His power and let Him flow through my vessel. We have all these power plugs around here and a lot of stuff plugged into them, but you can't see it. The ones that don't have anything plugged into them, you can't see anything happening. But let me ask you a dumb question. Do I have to wait for the power company to come here and give me power? No. They've already provided it. Wouldn't it be dumb for me to say, God, turn that fan on. Please, please. Give me the power I need for that fan to come on. No. What does God say? He says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. All we have to do, God's provided it. This is one of my awesome illustrations. God has provided the power to do whatever He's called us to do, right? How do I do it? I don't stand here and say, oh God, if only you would move and give us power for that fan to work. Please, God, please, God, please, God. That fan will never come on, will it? If I'm praying like that. What I have to do is humble myself. And believe me, it's much harder the older you get. I have to humble myself. And then I can plug into the power. I don't have to do anything special. I just have to plug into the power. And what needs the power will happen. And I ask God to help me back up. To go on my way. But you notice my knees are doing better. Because God's touching my knees. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. He gives power to who? The weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what that tells me? All you young punks that think you're faster than me and can run longer than me. If you think you're all that, well, while you're laying on the ground trying to get some breath, I'm just walking right on by. You know? I'll just pass you up. We got some people over 80 here. They'll pass you up too because they're relying on the Lord instead of their own strength and power. Interesting in that passage in the Hebrew, the word weight means, I would have never dreamed this, means to plait the hair. To plait the hair. And I'm like, what? But you ladies know what that is. It's like braiding the hair. It's like you're taking all your hairs and weaving them all together. In other words, you have to plait your life with the Lord. You have to tie every little loose end and strand up with him instead of just letting it fly in the wind. You plait your life with him. When life caves in on you, when you don't understand, when you're out of strength, you remain plaited. And you wait until God strengthens you. Sarah had to wait for a baby. Joseph had to wait to get out of prison. Noah had to wait for the flood to come. The disciples had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. We're waiting for Jesus to come. All those people waited, plaited. They had their life all wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus. We sing that on the bus with the kids. I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus. Well, I don't have that much time. Thirdly, when I offer my weakness to God, he is glorified. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. That word pleasure means approve of, acquiesce, take satisfaction in. I can take pleasure in these things because I know God doesn't need my strength. He just needs my surrender. When you give it up to him, he shows up. There's nothing you're in that he's not above. Jesus really isn't just my crutch. He's my stretcher. I think God probably one day looked down at me and said, oh, he's exceptionally weak. I wonder if he'll give that to me so I can use him. I wonder if he'll give it to me for my glory. This might be the most important statement I say all day. Quit trying to cover it up and offer it up. Let me say that again. Quit trying to cover it up and offer it up to him. My weakness is a witness. Every season of suffering has an expiration date. But it matters what you do during that season.